तरीन दिखे खजी गोपाल जी से तीन गुद मैं पान टी या वो ची ची चू मासूम तो तरी मैं पान टी जाऊँ जो ची किया ही वो तो नहीं चंद तंदा देखिए गया करे रे गोपाल जी तीन जो अंदर ना भी चू की पा तो डाउन तो खाली ची कुरी से ना ना सुसु भी जी तुम्हारा मारी पा सेंगे जी वाले तल्लो ना 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 भी ते कार्य की मैं बाजू करीस ना तुनी तो भी हीरो की मैं बाजू करीस तुनी तो भी हीरो सिंह ना कंडा चीन ना जो कुछ जो सेंगे चीली की चाने ना हीरो सिंह वो ते गिज़ो की भी वाले ना ते जो आला ना सेंगे ना तांड मा की गए ना तलंडा चीरे अरे ताज्जाने तंदा तुनी तो भी हीरो
So last week we talked about the stages of meditations. We went through the meditations, but we really haven't gone through the, you know, proper sequence of preparing oneself to engaging in proper meditations. So today what I will do is I'll try to lay out all those outlines in a proper sequence of practicing samadhi, or in other words, tingezin, and the practicing tranquil abiding, or the calm abiding, the practice of calm abiding, or shinya, or the shamatha. And so the reason for, you know, for to know about shamatha, the practice of shamatha, is important. It's important because our main purpose of engaging in the practice of the Dharma, including meditation and so on, is to eradicate those root cause of our delusions or the mental affections, which is the ignorance or the avidya. And it is in order to tackle this root cause of our delusions, we need to engage in the intensive meditations to to accomplish wisdom that understands the reality of actual nature of reality. So then, in order to engage in meditation effectively, then we need to know the process of mind and the divisions of the mind and mental factors. Without knowing that mind and mental factors, we will not be able to accomplish or to cultivate the wisdom that understands the actual nature of reality. So speaking about mind, here in the Buddhist classical text that we find, the entire phenomena are encapsulated within the three categories, regardless of matter or the abstract entity or something that is really subtle or the gross, you know, entire, you know, the spectrum of phenomena are actually encapsulated within the three categories. The three categories, the first is known as the form, is the physical form, and then one is the consciousness, shepa, which is consciousness, and then dhamminduji, which is neither form nor consciousness. The phenomena, neither form nor consciousness. It is also known as uncompounded phenomena as well. So, entire phenomena are encapsulated within those three categories. And there's no such phenomena that is not included within those three categories. So out of those three categories, today, when it comes to the practice of meditation, or shamatha practice, the we will be speaking about the second one, which is the consciousness. We'll talk more about consciousness or awareness.
ကိုတန်တယ်အတန်တဲ့ဒီစံတဲ့ဇောဇောတောင်းကိုဒီကန်တဲ့ရေစံတဲ့ငါတို့ဂုံးကြော်နေတာစံတဲ့တံဘူးကုန်းငါတို့ဂုံးကြော်တယ်နိစံတဲ့တံငါငါတို့ဖာတဲ့ဂျူတနေရနိစံတဲ့မာတီရရရရရရတဲ့တောင်းအဲ့နိမိပါခနုတုံးလာနေနေတဲ့ကြောင့်ရှိစင်းနေကြည်လပန်လော့အဲ့နိချိုချိုတဲ့လော့တန်တော့ဖန်နမတဲ့ပန်မိပါကြည်လပန်တဲ့နေထူးကြီးစံတဲ့ဇော်နိအဲ့ဒိုစချင်းနိချနာနေကြတဲ့တန်တဲ့ရင်စရေ
So the process of practicing the Dharma, you know, really begins from meditations. You know, it requires meditations because we need to develop our mind, transform one's mind through meditations, through a sustained period of meditations. It is only through these meditations one will be able to transform one's mind, you know, change one, bringing about a change within our emotion and hearts, sustaining one's practice of meditation for months, years, and so on and so forth.
Oh, then there is a talk about when you think in the good religion, you go take it to the same, that tambo, or some talk going about the Jordan tambo. And the lama la may be danga to do chi to jin yin. They are me pa la, as a tammy pa sia the tama shiba on the tonda higuro. They are me pa la, sin. The gat on the gats on the that thing go on tambo to do to jatar in higuri. Say me pa la gats on ji yin. He chi name any bees, he chi nyan ribu net to my days. The jam had turned it to my ears, no days. And the senella, so then the name of the carriers and another nodding the jordi. And the jay says, senella, to judge you are the group person. And the goon jona, saying the patent which ran near motor, but the paru the carriers in a and it you are saying that you know group us is a cheat or nigger. At the nigger, change it, the pardon to go to doing that with. Kariji guna la, ti kundu guna la, lo de la, teten ya sota zogura, te pa dhul chiwa sin, sen kida rana na, gopa sin ma chiwa. Ya kida kiwa ji chi gina chiwa sin ma chiwa. Ti ni ki pa kaki chi, gopa ma yu ti ngani ya gotong dotong zin lengi sari.
So, since now there are the nine outlines of practicing shamatha, which those are the nine outlines he refers to. It is, in other words, it is the nine stages of the mental practice. Those are the prerequisites for meditation on shamatha or the kama body. And out of nine, the first is setting one's mind. It's also called setting one's mind. It is a tangbo, same jokba, which means the setting one's mind, mental setting in other words. You could also say the fixing one's mind. And this is achieved by the power of studying with your guru or the listening to the guru's instructions or the visualizations as instructed by the gurus. And however, you are only evoking the visualization at this stage. It does not say and you cannot actually maintain this meditation longer period of time. Because it's just through listening to, it's just mere, you're listening to your guru and following the instructions. That doesn't mean at that moment you will be able to persist your meditations, fixing your mind with this chosen object of meditation for a longer period of time. You're not able to do that because at the first moment, what happens is because our minds is very much remain under the power of two obstacles. Two obstacles he refers to the mental laxity and the mental excitement. So those are the two main obstacles that refrain us from engaging in the practice of meditation. It prevents us from engaging in the chosen object, single-pointedly. So therefore, in the first, we listen to the teachings of the Dharma, listen to the instructions of the Guru, and follow the instructions, whatever the visualizations, the instructions of the visualization that's given by the Guru, one tries to follow that and try to memorize that. That is what the first setting, the mental setting. So it says, it says at this point, through the power of the minds, your mental process of conceptual and analytical thinking, you can detect that you are under the power of a lack of focus and excitement. You feel that your conceptual thoughts have increased, but in fact, these thoughts have not increased. You have only had insight of gaining some acquaintances with the conceptual thoughts, it says. So what this really means, normally, we are not very aware of how those conceptual thoughts are occurring within our minds and our thoughts and emotions. We're kind of let them roam within our heart, you know, freely, and giving them an opportunity. And in other words, we're embracing them. And so we're not really detecting them and then try to tackle them. So at this point, what we are doing is through listening of the teachings of the teachings from one's guru and following the instructions of the visualizations, we're kind of actually detecting those negative thoughts and emotions, such as anger, hatred, jealousy, attachment, and so on and so forth. So then at this point, when we are able to identify all those negative thoughts and emotions, then there is a chance that we may feel that our conceptual thoughts are increasing. In fact, it is not that your conceptual thoughts are increasing, but rather you are able to detect them. You are able to detect them, you know, for those negative thoughts and emotions. You are able to identify them. So this is the first stage, you know, through listening of the teachings, instructions, identify negative thoughts and emotions.
Not to
The second mental setting is Gyundu Chokpa. In the Tibetan term, Gyundu Chokpa means a continual setting. Continual setting also for succession with some continuity, in other words. So so this is after you have gone through the first stage, which is listening to the instructions and then following the instructions of the visualizations of the instruction given by the guru, and detecting those negative thoughts and emotion, conceptual thoughts, and so on and so forth. One then, it says, after meditating in this way, you are able to evoke the image and can even make it persist a while, for example, it can persist like when you can meditate for about a time, take, say, a rosary of the mani, one round of Om Mani Padme Hum, without distracting your mind. Because previously, you are not able to actually even to the one round of malas or reciting mantras such as Om Mani Padme Hum without distracting one's mind. But now that when it comes to the second, which is the fixation with some continuity, you are able to maintain your meditations without any distractions, while reciting the mantras, one round of mantras of Om Mani Padme Hum, the one mala, the round of mala of the Om Mani Padme Hum, and so on. So without any distracted, and then without being distracted. At this point, your conceptual thoughts are sometimes like a peaceful, and sometimes they developed. And this is the insight into what it's like to be called of conceptual thinking. This state is achieved through the power of contemplations. And so both these first two mental states have great deal of dullness and excitement, and the image does not remain for long. And at this time, you're using the first of four mental processes and four fixations, but your distraction lasted longer than the image persists.
Hemba joba den guru lang an tuba hemba joba dam chuma thik chi ki tu guru lang hemba joba joba yin sri jen tu bi chi ye ti ti na se mi ba li yiwa the tu he ni si la mi ten la le ten ju ba la si san de da ha ma ni la yiwa ye li tu ye sri de ne tin bi to din chi bi din ye sun sa ta chi ri ju ni ro chi ma ji sun ro
So the third stage is called, it's a patch-like setting, patch. In other words, you could also say patchy fixation. This is, you're just patching the clothes, a piece of clothes on the material, right? That's called a patch-like meditation, also patch-like setting. It is called patch-like setting because at this state, so this state is like a garment with a patch on the material that through the image basically persists. In other words, you're already able to persist the image, you know, meditation, object of meditations, and so you are actually, you know, reminding it again and again, and it's like a patching on the image. And it says through the image basically persists. The mind become distracted from the visualizations, but you are immediately aware of this and patch up your fixation on the meditation, object of meditations. And the duration of your distraction is shorter than in the previous two stages. In the previous two states. At this stage, you are developing a more powerful mindfulness, in other words, memory. This is the third. The fourth is a closed setting. It is near Joba in the Tibetan, which is the closed setting. Mm-hmm. So in other words, it's actually developing, you know, better and better. Your mind is becoming better and better. So now it's called the Nyewar Jokpa, which means a closed setting. And you have developed the powerful mindfulness. And you can fix your mind on the meditation, object of meditation. So from now on, it is impossible for you to lose the object of meditations. You're able to, you know, or sustain your meditation by focusing your mind on the object of meditations. And so this state is far more, you know, forceful than the previous three stages of the meditations. Your meditation becomes more forceful. And just as just the same, while all this is happening, you fell prey to, again, you know, a strongest form of dullness. So you will again, at this point, you have to be very careful that not letting your mind is again, attacked by this mental dullness. You know, there's a dullness, gross form of dullness and the subtle form of dullness. We may not be able to understand at that point of one's meditation, dullness is occurring, but you're actually attacked by the dullness. So you become a prey of the dullness. So you have to be very careful with that. And
this you are going to be going to. Stronger form of dullness.
It's a stronger form of, you know, mental laxity and excitement spot. You might become a prey. You know, there is a possibility that the stronger form of dullness and mental laxity and excitement, in the possibility of attack, you get attacked by those two obscurations, and you must apply antidotes to those two. Both the third and the fourth mental states are achieved through the power of mindfulness. But from now on, the memory is like the man at the height of his power, for the power of memory has been perfected. At that time, if you are able to detect the dullness, mental laxity, and the excitements, and having detected those two obscurations, laxity and excitements, and then you are actually preparing yourself. Not only that you are preparing, but you are actually applying, able to apply the antidote towards those two obscurations, laxity and excitements, mental excitements. Then at this moment, it is your power of memory, power of mindfulness has been perfected. This is the fourth stage. So the fifth, it is Dorjeva, which is the Dorjeva. It's also disciplining it is controlled setting, in other words. In other words, becoming your mind disciplined, Dorjeva. So in here it says, in the fourth state, the mind is overly knotted up inside, right? And now at the fifth, the greatest danger is from the subtle dullness again. We talked earlier that when you talk about the dullness, and mental excitement, there are two levels, subtle mental dullness and the gross level of mental dullness, and subtle level of mental excitement and then gross level of mental excitement. So here, at the fifth stage, there's a danger. The danger is from the subtle mental dullness. You know, you might get attacked by the subtle mental dullness. So here you develop a powerful vigilance, in other words, mental introspection, or be aware of it, awareness, develop a strong awareness. And then vigilance stands on guard, and then you think this is the quality of the single-pointed concentration, and it boasts up your mind. And in other words, it lifts up your mind, uplift your mind by reflecting one's mind upon the single-pointedness, in other words, samadhi, the qualities of the samadhi. So when you are able to reflect your mind upon the qualities of the samadhi, if I were to able to achieve this samadhi, and this is the quality of my mind will be, and so on and so forth. By reflecting upon this quality, your mind will be uplifted. So the difference between the fourth and the fifth state is that only that the former has a cross dullness and excitement. So different the stages of the fifth stage and the fourth stages are, in the fourth stages, you are in danger of getting attacked by the gross level of mental dullness and mental, excitement. So whereas in the fifth stage, you're no longer in the vulnerable situation of getting attacked by the gross level of, mental dullness and excitement, but rather you're in danger of by getting attacked by the subtle level of, mental dullness and excitement, mental laxity or excitement. Last one.
Yeah. And the Saji Tuba the Takiwa Chiba the Sin, Taki Tishin, Gogan and the Kiwa Chiba the Sin, Saji Tuba the
Tuba the Sin.
Then Mapu goes or Kiwa Chiba, Gopal and Ting and the Gogan and me, the Kiri Kiwa Chiba said it. That Tuba Nasin, goes to Kiwa Chiba. Mapu goes or Sin, Zin, Tirtai, changes. Mapu goes or Sin, Tayaki, Bush Yaki, Taj, Tishanan, changes. And then the Gupa Tamo Nature, Gupa de la Taro Niche, Gupa Tamo de Niche, Gupa de la Tamo de la Rapa, and the Gupa Tamo de Rip. In your local team, Bala Guntong, Chepa Chile, De Chepa Coguri, Saint Hidaya Gunjo, Saint Hida, Dinchon, and Gupa Rapachi, and the man who joined the Gupa Tamochi. Then the Mumbai sent the Nipa Timobi sent it. That Gunjo, the thing is changing, and the Gundia. Nipachi, mandu men mama da ma so soba san da de te jiwa te gopa le ju mo ju ta khen da ba de si ge de ni a to chi ju to din che de se gopa tha mo la chen do ta ni go gu se de
ငါပတ်တဲ့တနက်လေမတော်ဒီကိုဆိုကျွမ်းထမှုတဲ့တောင်နေချီတဲ့ခိတယုံကိုရဲ့ဒီကုံကိုကျွမ်းထမှုနေချီရင်းစင်ချေရွေးစရင်ငါပတ်တယ်ကျွမ်းထမှုတဲ့တနာဝင်နေတဲ့ကျွမ်းထမှုတို့နေချီရင်းစင်ချေရွေးစရင်ငါပတ်တဲ့ကျွမ်းထမှုတဲ့တနာဝင်နေတဲ့ကျွမ်းထမှုတို့နေချီရင်းစင်ချေရွေးစရင်ငါပတ်တဲ့ကျွမ်းထမှုတဲ့တနာဝင်နေတဲ့ကျွမ်းထမှုတို့နေချီရင်းစင်ချေရွေးစရင်ငါပတ်တဲ့ကျွမ်
So here the sixth stage, it is your jaba, it's the pacification. It is pacification, or it's becoming pacified, in other words. The literal translation is pacification. Shurjava. And so in the fifth state, the mind has been afflicted rather too much. And under these circumstances, the greatest danger now is from the subtle excitement again. If one's mind is too uplifted, and you might be get attacked by the subtle excitement, which is very, it is very hard for us to know that excitement is really still there. And it becomes a really impediment for one's, sustenance of one's meditation. Because the subtle, the obscurations and obstacles are very hard to detect. So then when subtle excitement arises, you develop a more powerful form of vigilance. You have to remain very vigilant when you are able to, when you notice there's a sudden, the excitement is attacking you. So powerful vigilance in order to detect it, because the vigilance, or you could also say mental introspection, it actually act as an undercover, detective. You have to just look at it and make sure that whenever those two obscurations occur, then you just try to apply this vigilance, very powerful vigilance, to detect it. So you analyze the damage this subtle excitement does to you and want to prevent it from occurring anymore. So this subtle excitement is a really jeopardy for one's meditations. It jeopardizes one's meditations. So therefore, one must be very vigilant about that. And whenever this, the subtle excitement is taking place within your heart and mind, and one try to apply a very strong antidote towards that is a perfect vigilant. You have to be very, very vigilant about that. Then the difference between this state and the fifth is the subtle dullness. It's not the main danger here, but both the fifth and sixth achieved through the power of vigilance. At this point, the power of vigilance has been perfected. If you're able to, you know, maintain the strength of your vigilance without not letting yourself, your meditation, go under the control of the subtle, you know, excitement, then at this point, the power of vigilance has been perfected. This is the sixth stage. So the seventh stage. Now the seventh stage is number shura. Number shura jeva, in other words, which means the thorough pacification. So here in the seventh state, it is very difficult to develop a dullness or the excitement because the power of your vigilance has been perfected, right? And you develop the power of perseverance at this point. And for you, wish to abandon dullness and excitement as much as possible because you have looked into the damage that they cause. You already know, but still, although your power of perseverance is developed at this point, and your vigilance is perfected, but you still have to engage in the practice. You still have to make an effort to overcome or to abandon this two obscurations, because you know if those two occurs, and well, how much the damage they may do in your meditations. That the difference between the sixth and the seventh state is this, in the sixth, you must be a very way, a worry about of the danger of falling prey to the subtle dullness and excitement. But this is not the case with the seventh. So you are no longer actually in the danger of being attacked by the subtle dullness and, you know, subtle mental laxity and excitements. And at this stage, there's no danger from the subtle dullness or the excitements. So all the same, you must make an effort. Still, you might make an effort to engage in the practice, to overcome or to abandon those mental dullness and subtleness. But still, one must maintain one's vigilant about those mental dullness and excitements. So all the same, then he said, Sarah, you must make an effort in the techniques to abandon both of them. In other words, the both of them he refers to mental dullness and excitements. So in the fifth and sixth stage, you should have been worried about the harm, you know, the excitement could do to you. But now, at this seventh, your perseverance are able to you know, put a stop to excitement or the dullness. Whenever they occur, they cannot then interrupt you for a long period of time. So the five mental states, you know, starting with the number three and going up to the number seven are single-pointed concentration for the most part, interrupted by the excitement and dullness. At this stage, the mental process is that of interrupted fixations. In other words, you will no longer be interrupted by those mental dullness at the stage of once you have completed the seventh stage.
Andre, GP question, Terwa. Tomba Nepo Tenzin Ji is Tomba Nepo Tambatan, Zambasin, Tenzin Ji. Tua Tunzi Teni is it? A Tenji Z and Tombo Yata, Kida Gunya Town, said you, and Pete did. Oh, only Kida get Mugu.那爹爹啊,家人都是,你今晚的胳膊,这样没几个,你就说,你比过去,他妈,你不,点心,就,就,点心。那天几人,你今晚的胳膊用这个马里行,那几人,经过他们要没比我打的,经过他们要没比一行。他们就吐吧,兄弟,你也是笨啊。
都打那么什么都打不到的吧这些两把当时都应该给你压的不能打应该的工作点点点都是今晚的胳膊你去可对的今晚胳膊这么多的工作给你压把当时都做吧压把带是的金龟子一起的都人家压把银币今晚的胳膊你打到的把那把的是打的嘛什么的可对的嘛给你但别人就可能压的就胡吃乱的今晚胳膊这么多的在胳膊的嘛压把银币是的结巴嗯压把银币是的结巴你中央的那是那结巴你中央的结巴你中央的结巴你中央的结巴你中央的结巴你中央的结巴你中央的结巴你中央的结巴你中央的结巴你中央的结巴你中央的结巴你中央的结巴你中央的结巴你中央的结巴你中央的结巴你中央的结巴你中央的结巴你中央的结巴你中央的结巴你中央的结巴你中央的结巴你中央的结巴你中央的结巴你中央的结巴你中央的结巴你中央的结巴你中央的结巴你中央 the Gopa here, you must doubt, and that's in two arguments. You are Timagus, as in a Jebani, go under two arguments, ten incident. Turn it in, and it's in good, so much, father Jim and it be easily. Be many be Jeba, my banjo be, the end is going in easily. And the Senate don't bother. GB to lose those rules. And this one,
so it stage practice of mental stage. This is it is called Tsechik Dujeva. When you're in single pointed setting. And that's becoming very single pointed to your meditations. Tsechik Dujeva is a stage. So it says that the first you apply the antidote of memory, right, to mindfulness. And although this involved a slight effort, you are then able to pursue the whole length of the meditation session without the slightest excitement or the laxity or the dullness, mental dullness. Here is in the illustration to show that show what happens in the later mental state. At the first, your enemy is very powerful, and then the sum of the strength of his or her strength is declined. The enemy's power is declined. And his power, his or her power has left him completely. So this is how the power of excitement and mental dullness is declined. By the eighth stage, you do not have to put effort in the application of the vigilance. After the slight initial effort during the eighth mental state, the whole session is not interrupted by the dullness and excitements, and so on. So thus the mental process at this stage is that of single-pointed fixation or the single-pointed settings. So the seventh and the eighth are achieved through the power of perseverance. Those two stages of the mental stage, the seventh and eighth, are achieved through the power of perseverance.
Vision.
That's all.
Tā gōpa nē, tā sēnē gōpa tamatama gōpa nē, bēcēnē tā tēyī jūpa tē, tā tēnē tēnē jōng hirā chīgā mō tā chāngsā rū kēchā rū, jūpa tē sē rū. Tēyā jībī kōs, yāyāng jībā lā tēnī, jībī kōs rū kūtā lō yū tāng lō nī dīpā, yāyāng jībā lā tēnī, tēn bēcēn mē bī sē, hē chī rū pī, yēn bī sē, jīwā chūng sē chāng mē gīpā sē, tēn tēnē hirā Sāntiān tāmbu ka sēn rīgu rī, tān dūpī mīng bālā, sēn tā sāntiān tāmbu jī, sāntiān tāmbu lā yī jī, sēn tē tē kiawā rāwa jī, dī sēn tē tē rāpā sānta jī chā, nā tī kī, dī sēn rāpā kiawā rī ndi rī yī sēn, jī dūpī kī sēn yī bālā, sēn tē kiawā rī, nā, dī nā dī sēn tē jī bī, kī nī, jī tāng bā, kī nī ngī mā rī yī sī, kī nī ngī mā bālā sāntiān tāmbu kī yā sēn yī dī, tā nā kī sēn dī sēn rō, yinbis. Gopa te yungsu jinbi tauji du shiri. Zan sinne gopa dili ta.
The ninth stage is the Nyambarjoba, which is the ninth stage, which means the equal setting. In other words, and the literal translation for that is the fixed absorption. You are able to fix your absorption, or your fixed absorption. So that this, the ninth stage, which is the equal setting or the fixed absorption, is effortless. It becomes effortless. You don't have to really, once you have completed, you have perfected the above eight stages, eight mental stages of calm abiding, and then when you come to the point of meditation on this ninth stage, and you don't really have to put a lot of efforts on it, it becomes effortless, and your meditation becomes very spontaneous, or very natural to you. So it's only if you're able to perfect it that, you know, above eight stages. So you spontaneously achieve this effortless by repeated cultivation of familiarity with the eight stage, it says. And then you need not exert the slight efforts to slip into the single-pointed concentration. Just as a person who is good reciting verses can start a familiar passage. It's like if you have actually memorized some verses very thoroughly, so you don't really have to put effort onto it. It's just, well, as soon as you start from the beginning of the stanzas, you will be able to complete without any efforts, right? It just comes one after another. This is how this meditation will become so familiar with oneself. So this stage, of course, this stage corresponds to the single-pointed mental quiescence of the desire realms. It says the desire realms. So the ninth stage is achieved through the power of a complete familiarity with the object of chosen object of meditations. So here, at this point, the ninth stage of the mind is called the single-pointed mental quiescence of the desire realms, which means you haven't still achieved the genuine or the authentic sort of calm abiding or the tranquil shamatha. Well, because in order to achieve the shamatha, one must achieve samdhan dangbu sim, which means the first meditative concentration, the mind of first meditative concentration that belongs to the heightened realms, you know, the God realms. So there are three categories of the beings: the beings who are in the form realms, beings who are in the formless realms, beings who are in the desire realms. So in order to achieve shamatha, one must achieve the mental state of first meditative concentrations.
Then jeba de making kitchen.
Ta guba sasken.
Then jeba de in kitchen.
Kevishes.
Kitchen ale. Hatri. Ta guba ro. What the dana jine dinge ne de go go se de ki gwa tari. Ne sen ta dan dan de sen ta ju kan se zume kan sen gin dan da ge de sen ri. Sen de ri. Tanda yin, tanda nga zu gung jo singundi, tang sen di ya zu chu tong guri. Nga zu chitani kuali tepi tapa tu, san ji, kari chi na, sen di ya zu chu tong, sen gung lo guri ma tu, chi gi, sen lo tong yo ma ri. Nga sen di ya, ha zu tanda ji pa tu, sen di kanga, ya ten, ma ten, pa ten, su de chi, hing bu, chi di ma ne tu guri ma ro wa, chi di ne ma tu, ni tu ni tang, अने देंगे मतलब चूड़ा सब तो उन्हें पैदल पंजा रिंबू ने ठोक गुरे मातो तंदा तो क्या पला जी
So this, the stages of the practicing, you know, perfecting the stages of the meditations, as we went through this ninth stage of the mental development, it's a very, very important, because when we talk about meditations, one must, you know, be able to meditate single-pointedly, single-pointedness. One wants to, you know, maintain the single-pointedness of one's own meditations. It is through the meditating, through the development of meditation, one then transforms one's mind. You know, transcend one's mind from, you know, positive, negative to positive. The transformation of minds, or the transition of one's mind, take place through meditations. So therefore, it is important to, you know the stages of the meditations. So without, you know, going through those stages of understanding the stages of the meditations, it is not possible for us to actually meditate upon emptiness. Even though you may have an understanding of what is meant by emptiness, but you will not be able to, meditate on the emptiness for the longer period of time, and the sustained period of time. You cannot sustain your meditation on emptiness. Similarly, if you are unable to, you are not familiar yourself with what is meant by meditation, then you will not be able to meditate on those Dejimitas or Chudu, which means the four noble truths and the 16 attributes of the four noble truths as well. So therefore, it is very important to understand the stages of the meditations. So all of those stages that we talked about today are contingent upon one another. It's all as a, you know, it is all the process of this meditation, the stages of meditation, all the cause and effect. And now one become a cause, one become cause, and that leads to this effect, and so on and so forth.
ne ra ngi ji pha ma pa zon da ba tin da kan da ko den cha hi bu ji ngi ji san da ji ten xian de te me sa ti ma se jin cha na jin chen de le men na cha ha ma ten ga ju me ji cha la tho ma yo ma ri tho ma me lu wo do na ka ri san an do wa ri tu bo ka ro kan ro kan ro chin do wa ri tu ge ne wa ri de tin ro la me ha ma su kan ro ne li la chin na na ki chung gu ri ma to sen ko no ta ga den da ju 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 ma de ne ngi ji de se jin ta ji ma yin ba ki gu no na ten da ri
Just as we talked about how the stages of the meditations are dependent one after another, one another. To perfect those that ninth stage, the mental stage of the meditations. So all of these are perfected by means of depending upon each other. So now one try to then relate this to other phenomena. Not only the one stages of the meditations are contingent upon each other, but also entire phenomena are dependent upon each other, the very existence of the dependent upon each other. And this will then enables you to, the loosen the grip of grasping itself, or grasping of, in other words, self-cherishing mind. Because from the beginningless time to up until now, our mind is very much empowered by this class, self-cherishing mind, self-cherishing thoughts and emotions, which lead us to see everything exists independently. The existence is very independent and autonomous, without depending upon any other factors. But if you were to look at very carefully, take a simple example of oneself as a being human being. And the very cause of being oneself as a human being to be able to obtain this favorable human rebirth is derived through one's previous, deeds, and one's previous virtuous deed. And not only that, in order for us to be alive right now, we again dependent upon our own parents. They nurtured us, and our mothers gives us the birth, and having given a birth by one's mother, then she nurtured us. And this is how we have sustained our life, and we're still alive. And similarly, everything that exists, there's no such existence, a single phenomena, identity that can be identified as the true exist, has a true existence and exists by the virtue of its own side. There's no such existence that we could find if we go through the analysis. So, sometimes we may claim that, I have everything that I can do. When you say that, you're looking, obviously you're seeing yourself as such an independent person, that I have money that I can buy food, I have money that I can go wherever I want to. But if you go through the critical analysis, your money will not take you to the destination where you want to go. You need something to rely upon. Either you need a car or you need an aeroplane. For instance, if someone who would like to go to India and having money is not adequate condition to go to India, you need an aeroplane. And then again, thinking about aeroplane, there are how many individuals have involved making these aeroplanes. So if you were to able to expand your mind, and you become a very, your mind becomes so broad, and you become broad-minded, and this will then, you know, enables you to understand how everything that exists are contingent upon each other. So then you will be able to understand, you will appreciate the teachings of the what we call the dependent originations. So therefore, in the Buddhist classical text that we find, which means the sprout has no true existence because they are independently exist. Their very existence is dependent upon other factors. So this will then take you to the further, you know, of looking at entire sentient beings. We are dependent upon entire sentient beings. And that enables you to recognize all sentient beings as being one's own mother. Thinking about one's own life, that the how many forms of life that we may have taken a rebirth in our past life, in the previous life. And that there are six realms, and we haven't, it is sure that we have not taken beyond those six realms up until now. We have been trapped within the six realms. And even one form of those six realms, and then how many times that we have taken within the one category of those six realms. So if you were to have, if one is able to reflect one's mind upon the one's previous lives and the existence of the six realms and so on and so forth, then one will then be able to envision, one will gain a conviction of the beginningness of your mind, your life. This will then be able to enables you to, recognize entire sentient beings as one's own mother. So this is the essence of the teachings of the Buddha.
Susu rāngwa, rāngsu tūpa kēne mi jilo yirin, kui kēnpa nāki susu ārī yīs na mārī yīs. Susu rāngwa māma rāngsu tūpa mārī yīs, sāyā, tūnyā, kūnyā, kāngāndi, mēd kōmba dā kāngāndi, mēd jirī tēni tūndi gugu yirī mēchī, kui jāngā nāki na mārī yīs. Kui kāndā san jēngi yīs, susu pēshā nāki na susu rāngwa, rāngsu tūpa yīs na kēnda hēndi yirī, tī kēnā na susu rāngwa māri rāngsu tūku mārī yīs, susu nama jī kāda sājī mē yirī sūndi yā. Nā chāngshū kī sēng kī sēng shū nā, nā sāng jī sā jēng, tāng jī kī tēng chū tū, sāng jī kī tūni tū bī kīrō dā lā, chāngshū kī sēng kī tū chē shū nā, nā rū sāng jī tū kī rū. O, ndō sī chī, tēr mā jī, Sanjiva Dinaji Chanchu Senga Mazina Tun to be hero de Gil Sanji Tugumari. What the Lingyung Samba Mazina quality be Tapato Tugumari. And the Chondu Mazina Chiri Mari Seri. Jotundu. What and Dari Tata Ritendi is on the Vijin. What and Dari and Rotonda with it.
So we speak about, you know, the self-cherishing mind earlier. So one need to then identify the self-cherishing mind as the real foe. Therefore, we're finding that in the Buddhist classical text, it says, "Tani chidaminangda," which means your enemy is not exists outside of yourself, but it's within you. So this, the inner enemy, the ultimate enemy, the inner enemy, he really refers to the Maripa again, which is ignorance, avidya. Because it is this enemy that confined us within this cyclic existence. And it is because of this enemy that refrained us from going beyond the cyclic existence. So now, and how this enemy, or the maripa, or the ignorance, that really binds us within the cyclic existence, is the way of, you know, looking at things in event. Because the maripa, or the ignorance, the way that ignorance apprehends the things and events in a distorted manner. And one's apprehension is a very erroneous, then one will not be able to go through the right path. This is the main cause, the root cause for us to repeatedly falling back to this, you know, cyclic existence within the existence of the cyclic existence or the samsara. With this, how it is distorted, in other words, how we could say this avidya or the ignorance is something that is erroneous, is because this ignorance, the way the ignorance perceives things and event, it's as if the things in heaven exist by its way of its own sight, by virtue of its own sight. It has true existence, and it has intrinsic existence or intrinsic identity. That very, you know, apprehension of things has existence of you know, by way of its own identity, then enables you to develop the self-cherishing mind. Or the self, you know, egoistic mind. This will then open the door for a arisal of all other negative thoughts and emotions. As long as you have this strong grasping at self or I, it really allows become an entrance for the arisal of all other mental, you know, negative thoughts and emotions. So why it is called erroneous is because the way this self-grasping or the way that ignorance perceives things, it's very mode of apprehension. In other words, the actual, you know, object of apprehension does not exist. It apprehends its own object, something that is non-existence. And we are kind of, our mind is totally brainwashed by those ignorance. Because the self-grasping mind or the ignorance, it apprehends things and events as if it has its own, it exists by the virtue of its own sight, its own right. But if you analyze carefully, if you are able to, you know, analyze carefully then such existence is no longer there. We will not find this kind of existence. So therefore, we call the object of apprehension of self-grasp of mind is not exist. And up until now, from the beginning of this time until we are kind of grasping onto something that doesn't exist. In fact, we are looking at that as a something that has solid existence, it has intrinsic existence. That's why we're always on the wrong path. So therefore now, when we talk about, we always talk about the wisdom realizing emptiness and so on and so forth. It is through the cultivation of wisdom realizing emptiness, or the generating the wisdom realizing emptiness, one then be able to cut the roots of, one then be able to, in other words, to negate or to refute the object of apprehension of self-grasping mind. So as you develop the wisdom realizing emptiness, then the grasping itself, or the grasping as phenomena, independent grasping as phenomena, will be diminished. Because those two mental factors, the object of apprehensions are contradictory. And the way they perceive things are totally contradictory. The more you develop the right side of the mind and the wrong side of the mind, the negative state of the mind will diminish gradually. So it is, this is the inner nature of how those, you know, opposing factor how those two mental states, when the two mental states apprehending on one object in a different way, you know, when you develop the valid, when you develop this wisdom that has a valid supporting, will then diminish the other, which is the grasping itself or the marikpa. So then this kind of practice, you know, one's understanding of non-intrinsic existence of the things in event is conjoined with the taking refuge in three jewels, then this will then become a Buddhist practice or the Dharma practice. And if one's practice is not only that it is conjoined with the practice of taking refuge in three jewels and your free, you know, understanding of non-existence of the intrinsic reality is then, conditioned by these renunciations, then this will become a cause for liberations. Not only that, in the further, if you are able to then be conditioned, your wisdom, where your understanding of emptiness is, you know, conditioned by this bodhicitta, which is the altruist intention to gain the state of enlightenment for all other sentient beings, then this will become a cause for, you know, gaining state of enlightenment. This is how we developed, you know, our, you know, how we can, you know, make a development of our spiritual realization. This is how we make our spiritual development from this, you know, stage by stage.
Tati, ta dani cheda mayo no da yin yin yin, ta tunga maripa dege, no cheda dada tari sone, ta mesed delo chi dupo na yutiya taram vi yungu tembara, ene na tunga maripa, singa tanda hiin diya, dege chang hama ni, ta ji pato lo ngandu nyala tong duni kien kong kwe re nubi yore, tunga maripa anti. O yandi dani cheda mayo, no da re se gwa dana, chek, na gdage, check dagger down taking one, knock down the zero jaw, Toma McKin, Tanday, and the Najin, no more cream about the Maton Dandrugan. No day, yes, again. And then he done Toma Maripa, the member sees the goods, not Tony to be hero in Tony Tay, Tony to Gumbala Mate, yes. Tony to don't call the Toma Maripa and Soso Nine Hamjan, I hear the mind, but talking here. But the Tony is a Christian like your Marie Tumbari is, and Toma Maripa. Tony to below the key, Yanaki unity. You did wrong, and Maduba Ransom, Madu, you are Nahi, now you can never know Nahi, they could don't do it. They could load it. You did temple in each other, and they could dampen up the curious, and they could go here and then under quality of Tabatones, Sanji, Dagin Rose, Tendon Rose, take it to what on the key transfers in English and what, and that's in the good, that the English number is certainly over here to win.
So it is, one must always look at this, the ignorance as one's own ultimate, enemy. In other words, the real foe, which is the inner foe that we talked about earlier. Because it is because of this ignorance that confined us within this secular existence from one life to another without interruptions. Whereas the external enemies, he or she may be animal, an enemy in the the first part of your life, or he or she may become a your friend in the later part of your life. And even if such an enemy who can remain enemy for your entire life, but he or she may have been your parents in your past life. So therefore, this is the reason why we are talking about this ignorance is the ultimate, foe. It's the ultimate enemy for oneself. It always, let us take a rebirth within the secular existence. And its function, the very function, is to bring about suffering. So therefore, one must recognize this as an ultimate enemy. So then, to oppose this, this ignorance, again we talked about earlier, it's wisdom realizing emptiness. Wisdom realizing emptiness is the opposing factor of this ignorance. When the wisdom realizing emptiness understands things and event does not have the intrinsic existence, or it doesn't exist by virtue of its own sight, in and of itself, then that very mind that understands the things in this way is said to be understanding the emptiness. Because the wisdom, but this ignorance that we talked earlier, that ignorance grasps onto these things and event as if it has solid existence. It has a very, independent existence. Whereas the wisdom that is emptiness, it sees everything that exists devoid of independent existence. So these two mental factors are actually opposing directly. It opposes each other very directly. So it is through this development of wisdom that is emptiness, one will then able to uproot this ignorance, which is the cause of all this arisal of all the delusions.
Should I say, don't wait, don't wait. Yeah.